thanks for tuning in. And this is a new bit of a format, more of a relaxed format, where me and Chris are just going to have a chat. We're going to call this Mint Sauce Chronicles, and this is number one. I'm not saying we're going to do it every week, but we're just going to have a bit of a chinwag about latest film we've done, or a few things that are in his head, and a few things that are knocking around, maybe in the news or whatnot. But I'd like to say thanks for all the comments, both on YouTube, on the website, and all the other platforms that we're on at the moment. It gets a bit confusing as to what we are. Eventually, we're going to host our own content on our own servers, and we're on with that behind the scenes. And I'd like to thank all those people who've subscribed to the website. I just want you to be patient, because you haven't had an email from us yet, but we're still in setup stage. We've sort of been caught with his pants down, haven't we, Chris?
Yeah.
If we're totally honest, we didn't actually think that people, or so many people, would want to listen to me and this lunatic talking. I think one of the films, I know it's not big by YouTube standards, but it's got 17,000 views. I mean, the thought that 17,000 people's watched and listened to us makes me feel a bit freaky.
Don't even like to think about it, do you?
No. And Chris, we are now officially conspiracy theorists, but because we've been called out by a few viewers as controlled opposition.
Well, you're not anyone in this world, so you're a controlled opposition or a shill, are you?
No. It's a strange phenomenon, really, because if we are controlled opposition, then there is no hope for anybody.
Well, I'd like to know who's controlling.
Yeah, I would as well. It might have been that MI6 spy school I went to on Saturday. Where I picked that pizza up for kids. One thing I would like to say is that Richard D. Hall from Rich Planet has asked us if we can put our sheep farm films on his website or his platform, which is richplanet.net. So they're all uploaded to there, to the Scandemic section on his website. So that's a bit freaky as well.
Are they all there now, Richard? Are they on there now?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, they were when I looked last week, to be fair, when he asked last week.
Which I will say is quite a big step for me and you, because we've been to see him live twice, haven't we?
Yeah, live twice, watched everything he's done. We're groupies, Richard, we're groupies. we are the bunny boilers for Rich Planet. But yeah, so I suppose you've got no else to say about any sort of announcement or like that before we crack on, have you?
No. Like you just said, no, it's just great that people are getting nice feedback of what we're doing, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're not doing this for feedback, I must say. We're not doing it for any kind of accolades or, you know, we're just not doing it
for
that.
Yeah, but it spurs you on, doesn't it? You know, if you feel like you're getting through to people a little bit and they're listening and they're interested in what you've got to say, it spurs up.
Yeah,
son, I think.
Well, it certainly puts that gentle pressure on you just to do something else again, whereas we might leave it a month or 2 months to do something, doesn't it? You know, people are sort of waiting for you to produce something or put something out. It certainly puts that gentle pressure on. But we, like I said, I can't say it's a hobby, because it's our life thinking this way, like it is probably you guys listening. But, you know, we really enjoy putting this stuff together, although the subject matter isn't really enjoyable. That's a strange phenomenon, really. But finding the truth hurts you. I mean, the reason for doing Tony Blair, really, is because he was sort of came next on the list, didn't he, Chris?
Yeah, well, he'd been wheeled out talking about the nonsense and saying what everybody should do. And it actually filled me with pure rage, that did, because the last time he was what we should know was before we went and carpet bombed an innocent country. So it filled me with, I don't know, it brought back a lot of memories as well of when, you know, when he first came on the scene, if you like. And I don't know, did it fill you with rage,
in fact? It just fills me with rage anyway, but it's the reason behind why he's being wheeled out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We'll come on to if and when we do a second one, which I think it deserves a second one. But the reason he's being wheeled out is because Gapes were coming under pressure from various angles. I think the Epstein thing.
I mean,
it
just amazes me that anyone's going to listen to that numpter when anything of any good whatsoever. And they bring him out as a statesman for England kind of thing.
Well, again, it just shows how little they think of the human race. Whoever's behind this and pushing Blair into the spotlight again, they don't care that he were caught lying. They don't care who these people are. They just push them back out again. Mm. And people just suck it up again and carry on.
And it's funny because that whole thing, when it happened, I think that was part of my moment of realisation, not even, you know, the tower thing. I think it was more that because he just looked like nonsense. And he was coming out saying there's this and that. And even if you believe the story, right, how can you think that carpet killing all those people in Iraq is not going to create more terrorists, even if...
In Afghanistan,
even if you think it's true, it was a misnomer. It wasn't going to do anything, were it? We're no good to anyone.
No,
it was just mass genocide.
No,
and he was on TV every night telling us we were going to do it.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Take the tea. It's the same. This is true. And there's a few things that were in that first Blair film. Some people have probably watched it by now, but when he was 19-year-old and he wanted to become a music promoter, and he sort of had a gap year between starting at the bar and being a music promoter, with no real evidence of any sort of A-levels before he went to Oxford, and then he gets in the bar. But there's a year where he's a music promoter, but there's no proof of him visiting any record companies, no mention of him visiting whatever, Virgin Records, Sony Records, etc. There's no mention that he had these gigs that he'd organised and set up as a music promoter or whatever he was trying to be. There were no band names that he were promoting or even his own band name that he were playing gigs. Mm. So what really happened in that year in between Oxford and the bar, you know?
It was like his training year, like his proper training year.
Is that the proper training year when he got indoctrinated into whatever he were involved in? Mm. Because that, out of all his... life that we looked at, that gap there was nothing there apart from he had a year off because he wanted to be a music promoter. That was it. So what really happened there, I don't know. I'd like to know, but
it's also interesting that he left all his education with nothing in politics at all. He was just a liar, wasn't he? Yeah. He was trained to be a liar.
And not only did he leave his education, he didn't seem to get any education.
No.
Why would a high-flying lawyer take on someone with a second-class degree?
Yeah.
They don't go to London and become members at bar. They get a small-time job in a small firm somewhere. Hmm. Not in a high-flying firm, when you can get first-class degree people.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And that video... it's probably the darkest one we've made. It was quite obvious pretty early on that something untoward were happening at them schools they were at.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pronounce these right. Choirsters and Fetters, because I've seen some of the notes saying I pronounced them wrong. Well, I'm just some uneducated Yorkshire guy, so I'm going to pronounce them as I see them.
Exactly.
And we say all right, not all right. So,
well, I think we speak the Queen's English, actually.
Yeah, we do speak some English, but it's not. I don't think it's the Queen's English. And it was quite noticeable that whatever story has been put out there about Blair was not true. It just isn't true. Mm. And for him to be around those kind of people who were accused of those type of things, as close as he was to them people, and get out of it unscathed, I just can't believe that.
Well, like I said before, the parallels with that and Johnson is they both went to these schools where there was abuse happening, whether they were involved or not. But it's just strange, isn't it, that, you know, two prime ministers, and I'm sure more, have been through that world. Do you know what I mean? Is that part?
Yeah, well, I mean,
have you got to go through that world to be a prime minister?
Well, maybe. I mean, Ted Heath's a prime candidate to have a look at,
well,
see
yeah.
what.
Yeah.
yeah. And, but I mean, not that I'm bothered about Ted Heath, but there was actually, and we've got it on the YouTube channel with Tim Fortescue, who was Ted Heath's chief whip.
Yeah.
Who I think his exact words were, and MPs might come to me with a problem. It might be debt. It might be they've got into trouble with the young boys.
Didn't he say ideally? Didn't he say ideally something?
Well, like whatever it is, he puts it in a black book. And bear in mind, he was the chief whip for Ted Heath.
Yeah, and it was funny because Ted Heath were a conspiracy theory, wasn't it, for a long time. And when he died and it came out that he was a paedophile, I remember because I was living in this house, it was in the paper for one day. I think it was in the paper. But it also said he was a paedophile, but not a satanic paedophile like people said. It's all right then.
That's all right then.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's all right.
Imagine a prime minister of the country and they prove he's a paedophile. There should be more discussion going on about that, shouldn't there, Julia? Just brushed under the
carpet. More discussion. I mean, well, again, the problem is the people that are bringing it to the table were probably involved in some way, shape, or form, or went to the same schools, or someone's got something on them. So it's just a big cover up. Even if there is some sort of investigation, it's not even an investigation.
No.
The investigation is about not having an investigation, if you get me drift.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, you see the news for one day and then it's gone. Wasn't even on TV, where it wasn't mentioned. Yes. I think I read it in the newspaper.
No. And I think if we do another Blair one, what the next one will be is after he left power. I mean, there were another bit of information I found out about that in the mid-2000s, his daughter tried committing suicide.
Oh, well. I mean, you wouldn't wish that on anyone, would you?
And it was covered up. And one of the MPs actually released it, saying that it was covered up, basically.
Right.
In 2004 or something like that, it was.
Why would you cover it up?
Well, I suppose he's protecting his daughter, but I'm not saying he's wrong trying to do that. But the power that he can cover it up, what else can get covered up?
Mm.
As we know with Dr. Kelly and all these other stuff, it just... Everything gets tried covering up. And now, not only has he been wheeled out, but I notice his other idiot has been put in Piers Morgan's place, Campbell.
Right.
On GMTV. Not that I watch it, but...
What, is he on it all the time?
He's been put in there. Pardon?
Is he on it all the time now?
I don't know. I know he's on there because he interviewed him. I saw a brief interview with Blair looking orange, same colour as Trump.
Mm. I saw that.
They were taking Mickey out of his hair. Because he cut his hair.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like that Wolverine anymore. He looked, he just looked same.
Like Gollum.
I have to say as well, when I look at that, if you look at him when he was talking when he was younger, Blair, he doesn't look he doesn't sound like the same person that you do now. Because he sounded a bit on the camp side, let's say.
Mm.
Now he doesn't. And the actor's got more improved and
finessed. He was a bit posher as well when he was younger. Sounded posher, I thought.
He was, yeah. Yeah. So what's happened during that time?
Well, maybe that got schooled out of him, so he was more of an everyman, maybe. He wasn't quite as posh. I don't know.
Well, he ain't an everyman, is he?
No, none of them are.
I mean, how many people respect him?
I don't know anyone who...
How many people?
I don't know anyone who... I mean, I think people have got more time for Maggie Thatcher than him.
I don't know about surely even Labour voters can look at him and think... He's just an awful man. Mm. He's not nice at all.
Well, if you've got a million deaths under your belt, you can't be that nice, can you?
Well, no, but it's the reason he got him, isn't it? It's a reason. You could say the same about Churchill, for argument's sake, but it's the reason he got them by lying, you know? And it was a blatant lie. And how he can actually show his face in public, I don't know.
No. How do you sleep?
Because he's never apologised.
Yeah.
He's never apologised.
Well, I did that one you showed in the video, like a fake apology. Isn't it?
Yeah, he sleeps at night because of what he went through by the looks of things that makes him sadistic.
Hmm.
And like you said when we were recording it, these people, that's normal to them. Hmm. This is their life. Putting their kids in these schools to go through that, and then the next generation does the same thing through the Mensa.
Hmm.
And then it turns them out again, and these people get high-profile jobs they're in journalism, they're
empathy's
on TV,
been drained out of them.
The singers, it all drained out of them. Right, so you want to talk about a film, didn't you, that you'd watched? I don't know if you watched it recently or...
Yeah, no, what it was, I watched it, I think when it came out, I watched the beginning of it and then I didn't watch the rest of it. And I just, someone was nagging me to go back and find it, and I found it on some TV. I think it was on one of those paid for TV channel things. And I really wanted to watch it. And I don't know why it was bugging me to watch it. But anyway, it's called Captured State. I don't know if anyone's seen it. I mean, what I'm going to say could be absolute gibberish, but it'd be interesting to know if anyone agrees with me. But I'll read off the synopsis from the Wikipedia. Captive State is a 2019 American science fiction action film directed by Rupert Wyatt and co-written by Wyatt and Erica Biener. The film stars John Goodman, Ashton Sanders, Jonathan Majors, Colson Baker, Vera Farmiga, and follows a young man who participates in a conspiracy to rebel against an alien race as it invaded Earth and force strict martial law on all humans. It was released in the United States in March 15, 2019 by Focus Features. It received mixed reviews from the critics and was a box office bomb, grossing just $8 million against its $25 million budget. Now, what was interesting about it was... It's like a totalitarian future where these aliens have taken over. But it's just some of the things it's got in there. It's got, and this is why I wanted to go back and watch it. I think I sent you a picture, Dom. It's got scan guns on people's necks where they've got implants in the necks where these aliens have implanted implants. But weirder is everyone's getting on as normal. Like there's nothing going on because these aliens have basically taken charge. It's a bit like V. It's like a reimagining of V, if you remember V from the 80s.
Right.
The aliens have taken charge and humans are complicit with the aliens taking charge. But then there's small pockets of resistance, basically. And it reminded me of similar of The Nonsense Now a little bit. So that was a bit strange. But then it's got, like I say, scan guns on the necks, drones, tracking devices. Like I said, an underground insurgent standing up against the totalitarian regime. But when I rewatched it, what shocked me the most, and I think you've got this image, Dom, was a picture came up of the main protagonist of it. And he looked just like George Floyd, I thought. Did you?
Right. Yeah, I did, yeah.
That wasn't the weird
graffiti
thing.
Image, yeah.
Yeah, I saw his face first, and then it goes to another image straight away, and it's the graffiti image, which not only did... I initially thought he looked like George Floyd, but the graffiti image was like the graffiti image of George Floyd. And in the film, that character, he becomes a martyr to the resistance.
Right.
So that's why there's graffiti of him everywhere. And he's not even... He's not dead. They thought he was dead, and he's not dead. So he's almost like death. And I don't know. It just rang true, and I just thought that is weird. And also, what I found interesting about this film was, it was actually quite a good film. I quite enjoyed it, and it came out with no fanfare, and it got really bad reviews, and it just vanished into the wilderness. It didn't get anywhere at all.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a brilliant film, but it's pretty. I thought it was quite good as a dystopian science fiction film. But it didn't get anywhere. It didn't go anywhere. No one ever talked about it. You can't really find it. You know what I mean? It's just a bit of a. It was a bit of a non-entity.
It makes you wonder why these films are made when you can tell that was made, but nobody's going to watch it. And that comes back to that energetic thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That does it really matter that nobody ever actually watches
it's
it?
It's still out there.
Not many people watch it because it's out there on a frequency.
It's still
that people have got that frequency, whether you like it or not, and it's aimed at a certain person with a certain frequency. If you like, probably the mass zombies that we're seeing around us at the moment.
Mm. I'd be interested if you put them pictures. I'd be interested in people's opinion.
I will put them
whether
pictures
it did,
up,
whether it did look like Josh, because I thought it did. I thought it looked just like him. Another interesting angle I found to this was I looked at who directed it. It's a guy called Rupert Wyatt, and I remember when The Nonsense kicked off. I remember telling you this, Dom. Have you seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes? Because that's he was a friend of mine who was showing me, and when he was in all the newspapers about. I think it was someone in Italy, and they went on an airplane, and they spread it to blah blah blah, and it showed those like
the super spreader.
It showed a little diagram of Earth, and then it showed all these little arrows going off where it had spread it with this one guy had spread
like outbreak with Dustin Hoffman.
Exactly,
it's airborne. Yeah,
but what was interesting was I remember thinking of the Rise of the Planet Apes because at the end of that film, a pilot gets on a plane and he actually shows that globe and it spreads all around the world. Blah, blah, blah. And I thought it's exactly the same.
Yeah,
and then when you look at it, that film. Came out in 2011. I think I might have mentioned this before. Came out in 2011, the same year that Contagion came out, which everyone's probably on about. You know, it had everything in it, didn't it? From lockdown,
everything in.
But they came out the same year, which was 2011, 9 years before The Nonsense started. I mean,
another coincidence.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. 2011, 9 years before two films come out. And like I said to you before, and I think I might have mentioned it before, the covering both that. Both dynamics of that story. You've got Contagion, which was done by like a bit of an arty director, so it was an art house film.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes, which is a blockbuster. And both of them are throwing whatever in your face and saying it's spread.
I can do...
Yeah.
Just on another note, I can do a mean Planet of the Apes impression.
Go on then.
mean. However, I used to have to use this because in the 80s, Planet Apes was a fantastic racist comment against me.
All right.
That is a good impression.
I remember you doing that. Yeah, I remember you doing it. Do you know what? I can tell you a really funny.
It's all in the nostrils and the top lip.
You want me to tell you a funny Planet of the Apes story? This is totally unrelated, but it's funny. And I always think about this. Yeah. When we were kids, I don't know if you remember, I was only four or five, and I took a load of pills in Shelley's dad's car. Right. So I nicked these pills, and I woke up in hospital, basically. Right.
Not much has changed then, really, has it?
I woke up in hospital, and my auntie Kath were there.
I remember you having...
My auntie were there, and my mum and you, right? And my auntie Kath had bought me a Planet of the Apes action figure, but because she didn't want to leave you out, you one as well. So I was lying in hospital. I nearly died, apparently, and I couldn't talk. And she bought me the one with the fucking, excuse me, French, stethoscope, the doctor one, and she bought you the army one with the machine.
Right.
And I just remember lying there seeing you with that. I remember lying there seeing you with that, thinking, you bastard. I wanted that one.
Ironically, though, I always used to, that were what people called me at school, Urko.
Was it?
They're really nice in the 80s. I think teachers called me that.
I got called Dr. Zeus. Do you remember I had that tan leather jacket? Dr. Zeus. I had long hair and a tan leather jacket. Yeah. My mate used to call me Dr. Zeus.
Right.
Also a bit racist. Anyway.
You've got bigger nostrils than me, though.
Anyway, another interesting...
Yours are like a pair of binoculars.
another interesting thing about that guy, Rupert Wyatt, who directed it, he didn't really... he's only directed a handful of films, but also he was born in 1972 in Guildford, educated at the Dragon School in Oxford. Thought that was sidelight.
Do you know, at some point, we're going to have to pick some famous movie directors and do a deep dive on them, I think. Mm. I'd like to do that. I know you would, especially actors and directors. I know we did Tom Wanks. Yeah. I enjoyed that doing that, actually, because it was something a little bit slightly different, you know.
I would say there's definitely, like we did with Tom Wanks, there's definitely certain directors and actors who are definitely in the game, and they're following, you know, bringing out certain... I mean, like when we went through Tom Hanks, every film was a propaganda film, really. You know, like every film had something in it, didn't it, that was...
Well, again, it's like Scorsese. Every film is a mafia film, or a lot of them are, you know. Why is he mafia?
I don't know, but I think sometimes these films... We've talked about this before, though, and I'm like, Scarface. Scarface came out.
Yeah.
And that was like... It might as well have been a cocaine promotion.
Yeah.
Really, when you think about it. Yeah. It was a money for greed. It was a film about greed, and, you know...
Yeah, it started the 80s off, if you like.
Yeah, yeah. Early 80s, written by Oliver Stone.
If you want it, you can get it. Don't matter how you get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you can't tell me you watch Scarface, you don't look up to him a little bit when you're younger. I mean, now it looks like nonsense, but it was there for a reason. It was promoting greed and drugs and, you know, everything. It was just it's quite a nasty film, really, when you think about it. I mean, it's a good film, great acting in it, but I think they're put there for a reason. And
he shoots his best mate.
Yeah, yeah. It's a dark, horrible. It's horrible, isn't it? He's the ultimate anti-hero, isn't he? You know, because he gets loads of money.
Yeah, but again, that's the rise of the anti-hero is a major thing in Hollywood, where you actually like someone who is bad.
Yeah. Well, it's starting in the 70s. I mean,
you feel sorry for him.
Well,
but
now...
Again, going back to what we've just been talking about, Tony Blair, is he the ultimate anti-hero? Mm. Yeah.
He did a few bad things, but he's all right, really.
But he's all right, really, yeah. It's just Tony Blair. He's got some kids and that. He's all right, really.
Only killed a million people, but he's all right. He didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, he's all right. You know,
what I notice
like
more
Darth
now,
Vader, but...
what I notice more now in films, Dom, you can watch a film now, and he's not just an anti-hero. There's no one nice in the film. There's not one who's actually worth anything. You know, they're all horrible.
Yeah,
and I see that more and more. There's no good guys at all. There's no.
Do you think that's portraying humans as faulty, if you like, and that we need to, you know, it's instilling in people's heads that humans are inherently bad, type of thing.
Yeah.
And that the next wave is to, you know, implant chips in his head and make us better, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, hence why all the superhero films are out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think humans are inherently bad. I think it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But they do try and...
This all comes from people who aren't very sociable. You know, I'll use Bill Gates as a prime example. Mm. You know, these people aren't very... So they come up with these ideas on how to improve humans. They're not really improving humans. They're improving their vision of what they want to be like.
More controllable.
Like Elon Musk and people like that.
Yeah.
You know, who just basically stolen somebody's name, put it on a car, yeah, and probably have had handed to him the technology that this guy invented probably 100 years ago, 150 years ago, whatever it were. Because what's he invented, really? Musk, he's not invented anything, really. Electric cars were around 150 years ago. In fact, they were 50-50 fuel and electric.
I don't think
and
his cars that have fuel ever made were
vegetable oil as well.
They've never made any money, have they? I don't think his cars either.
They never make any money, but yeah, it's worth... I forget what it's worth now. I'd have to have a look, but over 100 billion anyway, put it that way. Yeah. And he's worth over 100 billion. I think the car, I think it's worth nearly a trillion, is Tesla.
I don't claim to be smart, but I've never seen him say anything smart. I've never seen him interviewed and thought, bloody hell, that guy's a genius.
You just... You know what, Chris? He's sending a rocket up into space with a car in it.
I mean, I don't know if anyone... God, I don't know if anyone's even seen that, but bloody hell. Come on, man. You're joking.
What's the story that NASA lost the blueprints for the rockets so they couldn't give them Musk, Bezos, or Branston?
They had to start from scratch.
Richard Branston, yeah. Has he got his off ground yet?
No, I don't think he's even got off ground, has he? I think Bezos is launching one in beginning of July. I can't wait to watch that. I mean, they've got better CGI now, so it might look pretty believable.
Yeah, it might look even better at CGI on that one. this one might get past tree level.
But again, that even when Elon Musk sent that one his sports car into space, and he did do that, by the way, if anyone didn't see it. But that kind of went under the radar, didn't it? They almost sneaked it out. It wasn't big because I know people who don't know anything about it. And he actually sent his sports car into space. Same car.
Under radar because he didn't get above radar signal.
I mean, everything you've seen in films and heard about space, that should have just exploded. But it was actually a proper normal car.
It always makes me laugh, right? Musk is, right, we've got to save the Earth with an electric car.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that's nonsense. And he's sending
massive
fuel-based rockets into space. And everyone takes him seriously.
I know. How does that work out? I also always think about when they're saying save the planet, how come Formula One racing continues? You fly those cars all the
way. Because Lewis Hamilton were on that beach picking plastic bottles up.
Was it?
With his dreadlocks. Yeah.
Was he actually? Was he on the beach? Because
with his glue on Bob Marley wig. He flew to a beach, and this beach, right, were jam-packed with plastic bottles. You could tell a tipper truck had just been tipped them all onto the beach just so he could walk around crunching, you know, his feet on them.
Is that actually true, Dom?
Yeah, it were a couple of years ago, before this nonsense started.
What level of hypocrisy is that, though? He's driving around in Formula One cars, burning God knows how much fuel.
I think he were looking for his other wig. I think he were one of Drifters from 1970s.
I was looking for his fro wig.
Yeah, he were looking for his tro guy. And
I can't even believe that happened.
It might have been his, what is it, wet look from Coming to America. They might be on that one next. Which one can I stick on today, Lewis? That wet look from Coming to America, please. Daryl's haircut. Soul glow, wasn't it? Yeah. Soul glow. Yeah. So anyway, we got a bit off track there with that captured state. But I think you're right. Like that Spider-Man one that we showed in one of the other films where it had all the hallmarks of what we've been told now, stay home.
I mean, that sign in, that the Illumina sign on that said, stay home, stay safe. I mean,
you know, they were fitting all these road signs up, especially around here, and they probably have done in every other town. And now all them road signs are saying every vaccine counts.
Yeah, stay home.
Thanks for playing your part, you know. And every time I go past, the stick twos up at them.
Yeah, I do. I swear under my breath.
Give them FO because... I just have to, just automatic. Mm. You know, I see when them signs are whack.
But it's like, what is it as well, Dom? When the nonsense first started, all of a sudden, just round the corner from my house, embedded in the tarmac, distancing stuff. You're like, this isn't going away anywhere soon, anytime soon, is it?
No, it's only
2 months in and they've put that sign on floor.
Yeah.
Tarmac, didn't they?
Well, you've got to be careful because that bit of pavement there, you know, that's nonsense free.
Oh yeah.
Everything else around you could have nonsense on it. You know, didn't you know that, Chris?
I'll take a picture of it actually.
Yeah. Did you know that a couple of years ago they've actually taken gullible out of the dictionary? Taking gullible out of the dictionary because it's
most used word of 2020.
Yeah, it's offensive. Because and they've taken it out of the Oxford and all these other dictionaries because they find it offensive if you call somebody gullible.
Because everybody is gullible at the moment, aren't they? We all are.
Well,
I mean, why would you remove it? I say that all the time.
Well, there's no need to remove it.
It's a good word. It's a good word to use, isn't it? We're all gullible sometimes.
Well, it's a proper word, not like these words like trust or believe or, you know. They're empty phrases, aren't they, that you've got to actually hand over your power to someone else to beat you around the head with.
Mm. I mean, you can understand I'm bad at it if it was an offensive name, disability or something like that, but it's just a word, isn't it? Gullible pathologer.
So one of the new, I can call it variants, but one of the new nonsense variants is the Delta state.
Yeah,
we were talking the other day,
right at the beginning, I was saying to Dom, they keep going on about the Delta variant, Delta this, Delta that.
Yeah, this was a few weeks ago.
This is a good few weeks ago. And I'm saying it's got to be something to it. So it's from the Greek alphabet. One of the interesting things is it's a triangle. The symbol for it's a triangle. Another one is a delta. If you Google it, a delta is a triangle, a mass of sediment or silt, sand deposited. So you've got two triangles there, which I thought was interesting. And also, Delta is used in finance as a risk sensitivity measure. I don't really understand that. But then we were talking unrelated about hypnosis, weren't we? We were on about alpha state. I can't remember why we were talking about it.
We went down the wolf thing, didn't we?
Yeah, that is it, the wolf thing as well. And there was nothing there. We were talking, I was at work, and we were just talking unconnected about hypnosis. I can't remember why. And you went,
yeah.
Because I was on about alpha state. And you went, is there a delta state? And I was like, oh, man. And I was gagging to get up to find out where it was. So I looked at the delta state in hypnosis, and it's the deepest state of hypnosis, which means...
You have caught the delta state.
Yeah. So, yeah, the delta variant or state or whatever you want to call it is the deepest state of hypnosis you can get into. They call it like a dreamless sleep, deep sleep. I wrote this bit down, hang on a minute. And it's at 0.5 to 4 hertz, I think, HZ, I think that's hertz, isn't it? This is the deep wave. It is the slowest of the frequencies and is experienced in deep, dreamless sleep and in very transcendental meditation and hypnosis where awareness is fully detached. So
I can't see. I haven't met anybody like that recently, have you?
No, I don't think anyone's awareness is fully detached, do you? I could be going on a whim there, but do you think that makes sense as to why the delta has been thrown down his face? I don't know. It's too much.
It seems quite an obvious one to me. Have the medicine, go into delta state.
Yeah. Oh, you just don't think. You're in a deep sleep. Don't think.
Have you seen the symptoms of the hypnose state? Have you seen the symptoms? They're just hay fever.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Hay fever symptoms.
Yeah. So they latch hay fever onto the summer. And the flew onto the winter.
I mean, I twisted my ankle the other day, and apart from, I think that's called long nonsense as well. And I've gone bald. I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Now I look like a Malteser.
You need one of what's-his-name's. You need what's-his-name's afro wig off that beach.
No, I'm going for wet look. I think I need a wet look. That's what I need. Especially and eyebrows to match. Because he's had his eyebrows done as well, hasn't he? It looks like Angry Birds.
Has he really?
I don't know. Well, these Angry people Birds. Have their eyebrows are like they're hovering above their eyes. like Kardashians and they have Angry Bird eyebrows, don't they?
I know, some of them are horrendous, aren't they?
Strange. They look like Spock.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a song by it's actually called Pandemic by a guy called Dr. Creep, and this were written a few years ago, I think 2017, it were written for a small budget film. But the lyrics, in fact, it were longer, it were 2011, I think.
2013, I think.
The lyrics to this, 2013, did I say? I'll get it right in a second. Yeah, 2013. And the lyrics to this are unreal. And I'll play the song now, and somebody kindly put the lyrics on the screen. So, yeah.
They always start with a kind of storm, like a real powerful storm. And there's always this dark, thick rain, like fresh motor oil. Storm started, something happened. His face, his eyes were different.
By the time they tried to evacuate the cities, it was already too late. The infection was everywhere.
The virus is harvesting, what do you mean? 7 and 3, begin life in a lab of the first war with vaccines. Niggas died in the first week of the pandemic dreams. We are the deep black death, smallpox mutated disease. Flu shot propaganda from all population to troops. Avoid the prey, it might have sneaked into the room. It's now we're born with firestorms signaling our doom. The death returns with the pissed off zombie moves. The sprinkler system equipped with AUAG. With the round up survivors in the cold facility. Watch the process of terror from the hill near the stream. I remain in the gas mask, I still filter my water clean. This isn't past tense on the plague of bad things. Couldn't be eradicated like smallpox in action. Avian influenza where the jet stream is how it happens. 2020 combined with coronavirus, body stacking.
The world is now at the start of the influenza pandemic.
It started as writing. It was in the street outside. It was coming through your windows.
Sequence the virus and determine its origin.
It was a virus. Something in the blood.
A virus which has been engineered at genetic level to be helpful rather than harmful.
The city is sick like disease and it can't be cured. Few that remain, their brain stained with the bloodshed. When the smoke streams straight, death, disease. You feel a burning sensation. Nothing remains. The city is sick like disease and it can't be cured. Few that remain, their brain stained with the bloodshed. When the smoke streams straight, death, disease. You feel a burning
you
sensation.
You have to act fast. Grab your gas mask. Bad disaster has passed. Anarchy, cataclysm. Stand guard, please. Blast your big guns. Havoc's begun. Viral outbreak. Tragic things done. Crowds renounce fate. Our children's horror witness. Broke the hopes of optimistic. Scope is post-apocalyptic. Known as harsh and vicious. Gross and darker. Throwing darts blow apart the wicked. Fools know I'm sadistic. Cold, my aura is sick. Soldiers start resistance. Enemy troops in NBC suits. We shoot, then we regroup. Conquer weak with armored fleet. Bomb the streets with Dr. Creep.
The scientific criteria for an influenza pandemic have been met.
You didn't need a doctor to tell you that.
This virus is human.
The radio stopped broadcasting. There are reports of infection in Paris and New York. The army decades were run.
What scientists know about this ministry
decided to raise the level of influenza pandemic alert.
The city's sick like disease and it can't be cured. Few that remain, their brain stained with the bloodshed. When the smoke streams straight, death, disease. You feel a burning sensation. Nothing remains. The city's sick like disease and it can't be cured. Few that remain, their brain stained with the bloodshed. When the smoke streams straight, death, disease. You feel a burning sensation.
Can I look at one of these gas masks?
Sure.
What do you want to look at?
So what's the betting then we're going back into another clampdown in September, Chris?
Yeah, I would kind of... Well, I think we've said that all along, haven't we? I think...
Yeah. I think most of the people that are listening are probably saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Boris said, be prepared that flu's going to come back.
Yeah. Oh, really?
In the winter this time. It's going to be bad. Yeah. Flu's going to come back. What they're doing now, they're selling the flu jab nonsense, aren't they?
Right, they're reselling.
They're starting that process now of advertising that.
I remember.
Well, you need all of them because, I mean, if you get one Delta hypnotic variant or Beta hypnotic variant, you know, you'll need the flu variant as well. So you've got to have all of them. Soon they'll have a 5-in-1.
Mm.
I hope so.
Might as well.
You better
go to
Crockett's for it. Dry cleaners.
It's funny, actually. Do you remember before the nonsense kicked off, I remember sending you a text when we were in the doctor's surgery and they got flu medicine bunting up. Do you remember? They had an actual bunt. advertising. But then when you realise, I think doctors get, do they get 750 a splash, I think, with it?
1250, I think it is.
No, that's a new nonsense.
With the new medicine.
Yeah, new one. With the old, with just basic, basic bog standard one, you know, not the...
I think
they get seven.
Not the major one.
Yeah, they get some money for it. So that's why, hence, they have the bunch of that.
Yeah, the 1250 one's the Chuck Norris roundhouse one.
Yeah,
yeah, and the
just the kidney
cheaper
punch,
ones,
kidney
the Big Daddy, kidney Big Daddy gut crunch. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to read this out. Somebody put a comment on about this, it's a guy called Jack Satale, not the guy that put it on the comments on one of the things. And he reminded me of this. Jack Satale was, or Jack Satale, I better get my pronunciation right, or somebody will give me a rollicking again. Jacques Attali, is that better? He's a French economic and social theorist, writer, political advisor, and senior civil servant who served as a counsellor for President François Mitterrand from 1981 to 1991. And was the first head of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. So he's a bit of a mover and shaker, this guy. In 2009, Foreign Policy, which is like a big think tank type magazine, recognised him as one of the 100 global thinkers, whatever that
means. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. He's a Bilderberger, yeah. That Foreign Policy is now owned by Washington Post, but it was owned by the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I'll leave you in pieces. And he is a Bilderberger, and way back in 1981, either during an interview or it was in a book called Verbatim, he said a statement. Now, there is arguments to say that he didn't say this and he did say this. Somebody said it wasn't actually in the book. A French guy has read somebody's translated it from French to English and said that this part isn't in the book. But as we know, books can be, there's different editions, can be abridged, etc. But this is what he said. I don't really care whether he said it or not. It's chilling, and it's got an element of truth to it. And in the future, it will be a question of finding a way to reduce the population. We will start with the old, because as soon as it exceeds 60 to 65, man lives longer than he produces and costs society dearly. Then the weak, and then the useless, who do nothing for society, because there will be more of them, and especially the stupid ones. Euthanasia targeting these groups, because euthanasia will have to be an essential instrument for our future societies in all cases. We cannot, of course, execute people or set up camps. It's nice of him. We will get rid of them by making them believe it is for their own good. Too large a population, and for the most part unnecessary, is something economically too expensive. Socially, it is almost much better for the human machine to come to an abrupt halt rather than gradually deteriorating. We won't be able to run intelligence tests on millions and millions of people, you can imagine. We will find something or cause it, a pandemic that targets certain people, a real economic crisis or not, a virus that will affect the old or the fat. It doesn't matter. The weak will succumb to it. The fearful and the stupid will believe it and ask to be treated. We will have taken care to have planned the treatment, a treatment that will be the solution. The selection of idiots will thus be done on its own. They will go to the slaughterhouse on their own.
Nice.
That is quite a element of chill to it. And when you look at the beginning part of that, you know, it did start with the old. It did start where they're injecting the weak, probably disabled kids and stuff like that.
Was that in the BBC? I remember telling you the other day that they were bringing in assisted death. Was it Scotland?
Yes, in Scotland, wasn't it? Yeah, was it Scotland? Yeah, it was Scotland.
That was like 2 days ago.
It's starting already. Yeah, it's starting already.
It's 2 days ago.
Yeah. I mean, there have been quite a lot of more interviews of this type of thing. I remember that Aaron Russo one with Alex Jones, and there's another one called The New Barbarians that I've got on.
Oh yeah, I listen to
channel.
It. Yeah,
yeah, which was from late 1960s. You've also got Stanley Johnson talking about population reduction. The Goldsmiths reporting the Club of Rome. All these things are all, even David Attenborough talking about getting population down.
It was 95.
They never actually say we'll volunteer ourselves as well.
Kill yourselves.
They generally have 25 kids, but that's all right, that one. Yeah.
I mean, it's
you're allowed to do that.
It's amazing how they discuss it as well, isn't it? Like, you know, it's all solvable and, you know, just population reduction. But like you said before, no one thinks it's them. They always think it's someone else.
No.
They're talking about, you.
I've spoke to people. I remember when I had my business, we had a trainee working for us, and she said, and ironically, she went to work for NHS as a paramedic, which is, I found a bit ironic, saving people's lives. And she actually, I remember her saying, yeah, there's far too many people on Earth, though.
Mm.
And it's like a standard thing that people because they've watched it on BBC.
I'm going to say, you get a lot more people saying it now because they've seen it on TV. They don't even realise where they've got it from. They're just regurgitating crap they've heard on TV and saying, oh, yeah, but population is too big. What evidence have you got that it's too big? I've got no evidence.
Yeah, well, BBC's evidence.
I go from Cambridge to Yorkshire and I see nothing. It's just fields. We're just crammed into cities.
Well, we've got BBC telling us, we've got Attenborough telling us, we've got Greta Thunberg telling us, we've got all these, Brian Cox telling us, we've got all these. Mind you, Brian Cox got graphs, hasn't he?
He's got loads of graphs, yeah. And
he's got some graphs.
I mean,
Brian Cox,
I watched a bit of his show, one of his shows the other day, and he's saying, I can't stomach it.
You know, like I used to dead arm you. I want to do that repetitively all night on his arm.
But it makes you laugh when he goes, like, 4 billion years ago, these two things. How does anyone know that? How do you know that?
He doesn't know that.
Brian Cox from D-Ream.
I tell you what, I'd collide with him. five-knuckle sleeping tablet guarantees him 24 hours uninterrupted sleep.
I mean, if you want to talk...
Get off your ventilator.
He's so creepy.
Get off your ventilator later.
He's so creepy anyway, with his little 1990s mod haircut and his goofy little smile.
Yeah. I think the word you're looking for is ponce.
No, it's just awful. I tell you, the thing that turned me against him, I had nothing against him until I saw that guy talking about climate change and he didn't agree with Brian Cox. And when he got really angry, that was when he threw a graph at him.
Yeah.
And the guy went, what evidence have you got for what you're saying?
Graphs are fantastic.
And he goes, I've got a graph. And he threw it at him and everyone clapped. And this poor guy's just sat there with all his facts there and Brian Cox didn't have one fact. He just loaded, you know, it's just...
No, just a graph with a hockey stick on it.
Yeah.
That Al Gore said in 1999.
Yeah, are we all supposed to be underwater now? He won an Oscar for that film, Al Gore.
Yeah, I remember him saying the Maldives will be underwater.
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, it's not.
No one is. Nobody.
It's not underwater.
Nobody, not only Maldives, nobody's underwater.
Nobody's underwater apart from fish.
Can he give his Oscar back then? Because his entire film meant nothing.
He gave his Oscar back and his Nobel Prize.
His entire film meant nothing. So just give it back.
Nothing. Well, just more terror.
Should find out what the film were out. Terror. What film lost to his, and he should hand it back to them.
Well, I remember in the 90s, there were films out about weather, weren't there? That one about it were crap and all that. Tornado.
Oh, there's been loads.
Twister.
There's that freezing one as well.
That one. It.
Well, I think you sent me that documentary with Leonard Nimoy in it that was on YouTube. Do you remember?
Right.
I don't know if I sent it. It's
been a while ago.
But it was in the 70s and they were based...
That one ages ago, though. That one.
It was in the 70s, but he was talking about global freezing. And just like now, they did an old... they did a whole documentary about it. I watched the whole thing and it was just as serious. And again, they've dragged out Leonard Nimoy to tell you what's going to happen to the planet because he's Dr. Spock. What relevance has he got to do with...
And he's got angry bird eyebrows.
Yes. But they did the whole global warming documentary, but it was global freezing. Same thing, a guy interviewed a few scientists in white jackets and they all talked about how it was going to get freezing. Yeah. So it was same crap, just a different spin.
Yeah, yeah. But it's Spock, so he's obviously knows what he's talking about.
So if it's Spock or someone from
Z-Ray... He can put both fingers on your traps. On your trapezius.
Knock you out.
And you just pass out. Yeah. Instantly. So you've got to listen to him. Yeah. right, have you got what else to add, or shall we I'm going to try and do more of these brief little chats, a little bit lighter than the deep stuff, because... that is heavy to research, for one. And, you know, we want to do something a bit different as well. We don't just want to be meet the flockers. Mm. So we're going to start this Mint Sauce Chronicles off and see where we go with that as well.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed us speaking nonsense for 45 minutes. I have.
Yeah.
Have you, Chris?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah. So see you later. Bye.
See you. Bye.
Then I will die. I'll be a